Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Are we live, Nick?
Who knows?
Are we live, Nick?
Are we alive, Jimmy?
We're alive. The Boston Celtics are no longer alive as we know it. They fall in game six to the Golden State Warriors, who are your NBA champions once again, ending the Celtics season here, which was, depending on how you want to look at it, glass half full or glass half empty, was either a successful season or a disappointing season. And I'm sure we'll get into that later. We've got John Zanis joining us in a few minutes. We have Bobby Manning at the Garden. We have Josue Pavone at the Garden. We have Isherad Blakely at the Garden. All these guys we hope will be able to jump on and help us get through what we just witnessed in this series, get through this game, which was another roller coaster type game, which I guess we can expect from this team. And we're excited to have those guys join and give us a little live, recap of especially what the vibe is after the game. I think the Celtics are in for an interesting off season, and I know we're going to have plenty of coverage throughout the season, throughout the off season. Rumors, reports, transactions, things like that. But let's just start with the game. You know, we're going to be all over the place, I'm sure, in the show. And in the coming weeks, let me just say this, the post-game show after a game will end, but the Garden Report will live on here, folks. So if you've joined us throughout the playoffs, if you just jumped on recently, just know that we will have you guys covered throughout the off season. Oftentimes that's the most fun, to believe it or not, and moving forward. So with that being said, Nick, what are you feeling right now? Because you're a big Celtics fan, at your core here. I know you're playing reporter here for a bit, but
I'm a fan,
of course. And so speak for your own fandom, I guess. What are you feeling right now? How do you think this went?
I mean, Jimmy, am I going in on the bigger picture of the loss, or you want me to go in tight?
I want to focus on the game. Let's focus on the game. I mean, and a lot of those things are intertwined, trust me. So the Celtics lose 103-90. You can see the stats briefly on your screen there, the overall stats. But listen, this one went very similar to how a lot of the losses went. Sloppy turnover city. I will say this, the Celtics did get off to a good start, but just like that, what do the Warriors do? They wake up, they drop, 5 straight, 10 straight, 15 straight, 21 straight points to end the first quarter into the second quarter. Based on the graphic I saw on Twitter, the most points scored on a run in the NBA Finals in 50 years, 21-0 run.
That would be bringing us back to the time of Plumbers, Jimmy.
That would be. I think you were at the game the last time a run like that happened.
I was, and I actually paid attention. So, Jimmy,
Nick,
I'm going to answer your question.
Yeah, a lot of things to be annoyed about and upset about in this one, much like a lot of the losses in this series.
It's the season. I mean, when you look at the season, but sticking with this game, before I get into this game, I'm watching the Golden State Warriors smoking cigars and winning and accepting trophies on the parquet floor. Now, it can't be lost that this is the second time in the 75th.
Draymond Green's really smoking cigars.
Draymond wins. Yeah, they're all smoking red cigars.
Hoisting the trophy on the TD Garden parquet. Red is rolling over in his grave tonight.
And Tommy, poor Tommy.
Don't bring Tommy.
It's almost glad he's not here to see this. This would have been heartbreaker for him. That home record has been pretty much the touted, one of the touted things for the franchise. So at least it wasn't the Lakers, folks. It's a different team from California. But yeah, they're on our court and smoking cigars. So about the game, you know, I look
with
at
that being
game,
said, yeah.
Yeah. I look at this game and it was exactly, not to play John Zanis here, but it was exactly what I expected. I expected the Celtics to come out hot. I expected it to mainly be Jaylen in that first quarter. The Warriors came back way quicker than I expected, but I did have them closer to tied by the half. Here the Celtics were on the downside of that. And then I expected a third or fourth quarter run that fell short. I mean, this has been the story of two seasons, really. And when you're looking at why does this continue to happen? The Boston Celtics, and I'll go in positive at some point, but right now I'm going to go a little negative on you guys. The Boston Celtics are a leaderless
team. They deserve negativity after this.
They're a leaderless team. And when you have complacency, lack of focus, lack of direction in the clutch, and that doesn't mean the end of the game, really. It could just mean the end of the shot clock or big plays. When you don't have the mental fortitude to win two games in a row or to even show up being the same team two games in a row, you're without a leader. Now, is that blasting Jason? Well, you know, 13 points from your superstar in a deciding game on your court, I ain't going to cut it, man. I'm not going to blame Jason Tatum because overall, when I look at his season, I look at a tremendously positive year of growth for him. And I'm watching him at the end of the game before they left the court, and he was looked to be, and I don't know for sure, but he looked to be crying on the bench. To me, I look at that, and I think this is all a chapter in the book because the Celtics have a decade ahead of them of potential championship runs if they grow a leader or get a leader. Because right now, Ime can't suit up. Yes, he's the big man and he's the adult in the room. Al Horford, his time is ending. And Al, as amazing as he was tonight, amazing throughout the entire playoffs, he's not that.
Hey, he's not 25. Leader. He's not 25.
Not 25.
You want to talk about the leadership aspect of it?
Well, I mean, I think from a leadership standpoint, you look at Al and what he did this year, it was pretty uncharacteristic when you look at his career. I mean, he's always been the quiet leader. This year, he's been extremely vocal. He has had a great, great season. But he's the past. Like, you still look at Al and you think of I don't even want to talk about IT after that tweet today. But you look at Al and you think of IT and some of those we covered, Jimmy, those runs. We need somebody, the Celtics need somebody either within the current roster just to become, it can't be Marcus. I love Marcus, but he's an emotional train wreck half the time.
Sure. So I see what
you're saying. Jaylen doesn't have the Jaylen doesn't have the focus or discipline to dribble in the paint, let alone lead the team. Jason Tatum needed to be Larry Bird tonight. That's not even fair. He needed to be Paul Pierce tonight. And
that's
he could have been.
That's good.
And he could have been.
Yeah, I like that comparison because there's the Pierce Tatum comparisons have been coming on since Tatum entered the league. Now, pure talent wise, you can say that Tatum's already surpassed Pierce.
I believe
so. Pierce was a gamer, and a lot of people didn't see that on a national scale until maybe later on once KG came here. But Pierce was a big game player. He went toe to toe with LeBron. He won a championship. He was the Finals MVP of that team, obviously. And he had more of a killer instinct. And when you talk about leadership and things like that, I don't see a killer instinct with anybody on this team right now. They're almost like a ship without a captain, right? And you're just kind of floating along. Now, that isn't to say that there wasn't points throughout the season where Tatum wasn't freaking amazing or Brown wasn't amazing. Right. But at the end of the day, when these guys have to come together on the biggest stage and show that they belong there, and it just didn't feel like they did. The Warriors, we know they belong there. And we saw that time and time again. They have the killer instinct. They have the real, you know, Hall of Fame, top 5, 10 all-time player on their team in Steph Curry, who showed out this series. I mean, that was a guy who could not be denied a championship. Could not be denied that whatsoever.
He's on the LeBron Michael Jordan level.
Bad crier, but we'll take Steph Curry tears over Jason Tatum tears tonight. If I bet you anybody would, right? Because Curry's crying for, you know, mixed emotions. Tatum's crying because
Jimmy,
you know, disappointed. But you know what though? I'm glad that you mentioned Tatum's emotions in this one, because I can't tell you how many people texted me and said, "What the hell's wrong with Jason Tatum tonight?" Talk about somebody who didn't look engaged. Didn't look like fired up. You know, didn't feel like this was a elimination type game. 13 points.
He looked very invisible. Complacent.
Invisible out there for a lot of the game. I mean, you got to shout out Jaylen Brown. I mean, I think Jaylen Brown did just about everything he could in this game. Yes, he turned the ball over a few too many times because he's trying to do maybe a little too much. So, again, I almost can't even blame him for some of those turnovers. Somebody has to step up and take control, or control is probably the wrong word, but try to take over.
So, such a complicated defense, the schemes that the Celtics run. Why can't they fucking run a play on offense?
Whoa, easy, buddy.
I mean, why can't they? Why can't they? And this is going back to Brad.
When you're playing from behind, Nick, it's a lot harder to play your style. And they went up early, let the Sherrod Blakely coming in real hot. Hot. Can you hear us, Sherrod?
What's up, people? Can you hear me okay?
We can hear you okay. Yeah, we can hear a lot of things.
Do you hear me okay?
Can hear the Warriors celebrating too.
You can hear you. It's a little loud, so I don't know if what you got, bro? Good to see you. Can you hear me?
How's that? Is that better?
Yeah, you're good.
As good as it's gonna be.
Where are you at?
Hold on. We'll pop out here.
Sherrod will be right back.
Yeah, it's a little
Garden cheering like that.
It's a little loud right now. We're gonna see if Sherrod can.
Before
what was
he
I
comes
just
back,
saying though? What was I just saying?
I think I interrupted you and talked about the offense. You were saying about playing from behind.
Oh, right. Well, that's how they got. But you're right, though. Their offense is you can criticize their offense for sure. I mean, how many times did they just walk the ball up or you know, one player decides that they're going to try to take it to the rim, turnover. When you're playing from behind like that, you kind of get out of your style of playing, the things that you do well and working the ball and moving the ball around and setting plays. And when you're not playing deep, it's just – you know, when you can't get stops too, that's another issue. You know,
you get stops and then turn the ball over.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, again,
it was tremendous defense.
We got it right here, 22 turnovers.
What were the offensive rebounding numbers, Jimmy?
I don't have them in front of me. I know they gave up double digit offensive rebounds. They had some of their own, but
play amazing defense and then give up two, you know, not just one offensive board, two, three on one possession.
Yeah. Right. Warriors miss a three and they get the ball back, you know, and it was just that happened late in the fourth. And I think
it wasn't even that bad tonight, Jimmy, but other games, it's been terrible. I want to just put a bow on to steal Zane's phrase, put a bow on that Paul Pierce thing. If today, now I will say, I agree with you, Jimmy.
15
offensive boards to the Celtics, 11. It's not that bad, but it felt bad because everything the Celtics do wrong is very impactful to the other team. You know,
get your word
saying?
In, because I think I hear John Zanis music. Get your word in.
Oh, boy. So let me get my word in about I have said, and I continue to say, that wow, this is scary. I continue to say that like Paul Pierce, Jason Tatum has already surpassed Paul Pierce. I think Paul Pierce would admit it. But if I had to pick a player today to lead my team,
to go to war with
my team, I'm picking Paul Pierce to go to war with. I'm not saying that a year, 2 years from now, I won't be picking Tatum all day.
It's a tough comparison because Pierce at Tatum's age, I mean, we're comparing the all of Paul Pierce to a Tatum who is, you know, 25 or whatever he is, but I understand.
And we're omitting the past, the ugly past that Paul had. And he did have some ugly years.
John Zanis, everybody.
Johnny
Garden. He kept his word. He left the game because he was so disgusted by what the Celtics were putting out there as a product.
I got thrown out.
He threw a water bottle onto the court and he said, "See you later."
I don't like it down here.
Yeah.
I'm used to being over there. I'm gonna try this corner.
No. Go back to your normal spot there.
Fine.
This is like Hollywood Squares.
I'm gonna picture you road raging all the way home. Like, I can't believe this.
I'm not angry. I'm not angry.
You shouldn't be angry, John.
Somebody clipped that. Somebody clipped that. I'm not angry. And then, like, let's see.
It was so insincere.
It's not anger, but if you come at me, if you come at me with some weak shit, I will get angry at that. Yeah. I'm not angry at the team, you know.
So, tell us why the Celtics were so good this year.
No, I'm gonna let Sherrod go first.
Is that what we're gonna let Sherrod go? Sherrod, you there? We had a connection issue the first.
I can hear you guys. Can you hear?
Yeah. Oh, he sounded great.
We did up until you left.
I think there's a delay. I'm
gonna make one statement only.
Oh, here it is. He tried. He got 30 seconds in. Go ahead.
It's not mad.
John, we want Matt, John. If ever
I'm not mad.
Mad, John.
If ever there was a night to be mad.
I'm not mad. I kept thinking the Celtics were going to win. Game over game, when we'd ask what's going to happen, I thought Celtics' best effort would win. They weren't able to muster that effort. That's a problem in itself. And so we'll get into that stuff. My thing with this team, and I've said it, we say it on our text threads, I've said it show over show, is whatever happens over this game, these two games, this final series isn't going to change my opinion of things I think about the team and questions I have about them. So what I'm going to say is I have a lot of the same questions about this team now that I did even when they were back when they were playing poorly. It doesn't mean I think they're awful. I thought they should have been playing much better then, but I still have a lot of the same questions. And I think a lot of people do as well. And that involves everybody. That involves Jason Tatum and who he's going to become. That involves, you know, Jaylen Brown and what his ceiling is, the point guard situation, you know, bench depth, future. There's a lot of questions. I had those questions before. I still have them now. I'm not going to sit here and unload on the team. They lost. Golden State outplayed them. I don't like playing that veteran leadership. They've been there before sort of card. But the Celtics it's a basketball game. I don't think they shrunk because it was the finals. I think Golden State just played better basketball over the last few games, and that's it. But I don't think it was like the Celtics were like, oh, geez, I just got the pressure goes up, meaning everyone tries much harder in these games than they do in other games. They just couldn't handle the pressure from a really good team, and they wilted. I don't think it was finals pressure per se. But anyway, Sherrod, what's going on, man? Give it a shot. Let's see if we can hear you.
Yeah, guys, can you hear me okay?
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Can you hear me okay? Okay.
Yes.
Bottom line is Golden State's just a better team. Golden State played a better series. And you start looking at the role players that Golden State had. You've got a guy like Andrew Wiggins, who's a former number one overall pick. You got a guy like Jordan Poole, first round pick. And then the flip side, you look at the Celtics, Grant Williams, Derek White, Pritchard, bottom line, Golden State, the Celtics could have won this series if they would have played as close to their max potential as possible. And that didn't happen. The Celtics, I thought, if you look at this series from top to bottom, they were okay. Well, okay is not going to get you a chip. Okay is not going to beat a team like Golden State. And, John, I agree with you. I don't think the whole experience thing was a factor. I think it was the fact that Golden State played better basketball. They made their open shots. They made turnovers. They forced you to do things that you weren't comfortable with. And your best player, Jason Tatum, did not play like your best player. He wasn't even the best player on his team, let alone in the series.
Well, that is, I mean, I'm sure you
all
guys
true.
Have
talked.
I'm sure dog. You guys have talked about Tatum. And sorry, guys, I packed my mic at the Garden. Volume got a little jacked and I had to turn it down. So sorry if I came in hot for some of you guys at home. What's up? What was the Tatum situation? I know we'll probably hear like the shoulder was bothering him more than we thought. I always, anytime we can have this close up, I'm taking it. Yeah.
What?
Yeah. Anytime
I don't want to hear about the
anytime
shoulder.
We get Nick leaning all the way back, I want it full screen. Yeah.
Yeah, dude. Come on.
I do. I'm going to ding anyway, you every single time.
I don't mind.
Yeah.
You know what?
Someone get Nick a pillow. What happened?
Not a pillow, please.
Sherrod. Look what you did, Nick.
The biggest issue with this team is that they don't seem to understand when something is working, you stick with that. early on. They were playing Billy Ball, and they went up 14-2. And then next thing you know, Sabonis taking threes, Tatum's jacking up shots. Next thing you know, it's a 5-6 point game. I don't understand how they can have something work and then just arbitrarily decide to go away from that. We saw that back in November, and we thought that they could have gotten past that stage. Obviously, that's still some of that is in their system. And that, I thought, was the biggest factor in this game, not recognizing what works and sticking with it.
All right, we're going to take a little pause here. I want to tell you about our sponsor, Bet Online. Our partners at Bet Online continue to be the number one source for all your betting needs and sports information. Find all the latest odds, news, and sports developments, including this year's NBA Finals, NHL Hockey Conference Finals, and Stanley Cup, Major League Baseball scores, and all the latest fighting news, and even next season's early NFL futures. BetOnline is your continued source for all your sports wagering, from live betting to playoffs, esports, and more. So head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use our promo code CLNS50 to get the bonus and get into the action. BetOnline, where it starts.
Carelessness, too. I mean, anytime they made one step forward, they took three back, just again with turnovers that were more than turnovers. They were reverse assists. I mean, they were assisting the other team, Golden State. So, and again, I think that you guys would agree. It's the end of the game, or when those times get tense, when Golden State is on that kind of run like they were at the end of that first quarter, who stops them by putting a, you know, hitting a shot, getting to the line, slowing the pace down? There's just nobody. I really think that leadership is an issue and will continue to be an issue into next year.
This Tatum performance was really mind-blowing for me, though, because you've seen stars struggle where shots don't go, and it's just they're trying, it's just not working.
Shoot.
But Tatum got dominated. Like when he tried to go one-on-one on Wiggins, and Wiggins decided he wanted to play defense the last few games of the series, Tatum, I mean, got half his shots thrown back. It was really bad. Everybody was quicker. They were stripping the ball from him. You know, everything was, you know, just everything was weak. Like, he just looked, he looked like a bad basketball player. Like, again, if you'd never watched basketball and only watched these few games, you would not think Jason Tatum was an all-star basketball player. You'd be like, why is this guy shooting so much? He's not good at it. Like, why do they give him the ball so much? He just looked bad. He looked clumsy. He looked slow.
He looked like he lacked confidence.
He looked apathetic. He was getting dominated. Right. Dominated.
We said this at the beginning, John, that it was the body language was back. The poor body language is back again. Maybe the chat might correct me if I'm wrong, but
they've been correcting me. So
pretty sure that Lisa Salters had a report in the second quarter, basically saying that Jaylen Brown and Marcus Smart lit into the team on the bench in the second quarter, basically saying like, pick it up. Like, this game's not over. We have to earn it. You know, it's not going to be given to us. So nobody should be sitting here sulking or in a pissed off mood. Let's go play basketball. So interesting that she said it was Brown and Smart that had that attitude.
I got
what's up, Sean?
No, I was just gonna say that's no surprise. Mm-mm. I mean, when you think about who are the emotionally volatile in your face guys on this team, there's only really two or three guys you'd even think about: Marcus, Jaylen, and Al. And when Al gets mad, that's when you know that you're in trouble. I thought Al was really good in this game. Wasn't great, but he was really good. He played his role, made some plays, made some shots.
He was good. Al and Jaylen willed them back. Like, Tatum, at the start of the fourth quarter, Tatum was walking around. Like, it was unbelievable.
John, I mean, and you John, guys, you've heard me say this a million times.
It was
if you get 5 minutes of top five Tatum, almost every game they play, that's kind of like this, 5 minutes of top five Tatum and you win.
That's the freeze of the
season.
He was walking around. He was walking up to set screens. He wasn't setting real ones. He wasn't coming off the ball strong. He wasn't going to the ball. If it got in his hands, he might try to do a little something. But he just looked checked out.
Like, and I can tell you this.
Yeah.
That when, like, going from being at the games all the time to watching them on TV, you guys who are there are seeing it double. what we're seeing on television because the cameras don't pick it up. Like, I'm always looking at the tail end of the camera after he gets a no call or whatever to see if he's going to come back or he's going to be listless and just dragging. You guys get to see it. So whatever anybody in the chat room is seeing on television, double it. Because that's really – and the same thing goes for Marcus Smart. You don't see all the intangibly great things he does when you're not at the game. So
you
guys know.
It's that whole thing where, like, it worked for a little, you know, learning. And you know, we talked about this the whole time when they were struggling. And, you know, and then it seemed like they solved some of these issues. You know, learning how to be, like – just learning the right way to play instead of defaulting to some things that have worked for you as an individual basketball player, learning to lead, learning to win. You know, some of that stuff was working, but a lot of it was just driven by defense. The defense was so dominating that it kind of probably covered up for some of the issues that the offense has, which is when times get tough, they do revert to some of their kind of baser instincts. And for guys like Tatum, that really is just kind of slowing it down and going into his little rock the baby, little ISO situation. And it's just, it doesn't work when teams are spending this much time, you know, and paying this much attention to you, sending two guys at the point of attack, forcing you to your left. I mean, Tatum half the time just dribbled into double teams. And sometimes, you know, he'd look to make a pass and people were standing in the lane because they knew exactly where it would go. He's just, it's too deliberate. And that's just, it's what's worked before. But when everything breaks down, they revert to the things that are proven not, Tatum specifically, proven not to work. So he's just got to get it. You almost just have to reinvent yourself a little bit. You know, you've had a thing that's worked for you your entire life, but in order, you know, to be more successful and for your team to win and to be that playmaker that everybody wants him to be and the guy who has the ball in his hands and have the offense run through him, he's got to be a totally different guy. He really does. We only saw flashes of it. People, I think, really talked a lot about his playmaking improvements this year. I thought they were there, but I thought they were subtle, and I don't think they were consistent enough for people to say, oh, he totally figured it out as a playmaker.
Make it a threat against a double.
Or make it something that people are worried about. They're not, like I said, why do Jokic and LeBron and players like that not get doubled as much? Because they'll pass out of it immediately to the most open guy on the court, and it's going to result in a bucket. They'll kill you if you double them. Tatum's got to be a guy who kills you when you
double
him.
Which he doesn't. No, he doesn't. No one's scared. No one's scared of his playmaking. And also this about the whole playmaking storyline. How many times was it used as a, well, yeah, he didn't score. He didn't score. He didn't shoot well tonight, but his playmaking was off the charts. He had 8 assists and like he was involved in the offense, even though he wasn't scoring. It's like, dude, I get it. But if I have a first team All-NBA player, I need him to drop 30 points a game in the playoffs. Not 6 turnovers a game. He's the first player in NBA history to have over 100 turnovers in the playoffs. So a round of applause for that.
Well,
I mean,
Jimmy, you really have all the stats tonight. I mean,
my brother sent me that stat.
That's a good one.
But, I mean, is anyone surprised to hear that, though? I mean, every time you look up, it was either him or Brown or Smart or somebody turning the ball over. I mean, it was no different tonight. Honestly, that's what's so frustrating about tonight. They lost the same exact way that they've lost all the other games. It's almost like they just can't help themselves, you know? And the Warriors, were they the better team? Yes. Were they a beatable team? Hell yes. And I thought the Celtics beat themselves more than the Warriors beat them. They just continued to shoot themselves in the foot with turnovers, giving up second chance points, offensive rebounds, their star players not showing up when they need them the most, and a bench that was completely non-existent after game one. I mean, you had the Derek White game, and then I didn't hear boo from the entire bench.
And he was horrendous.
White, Pritchard. I mean, shoot. I think their best bench player was freaking Cornette.
The most incredible stat was the halftime plus-minus numbers. I've never seen anything like that.
That was an unreal stat, yeah.
Derek White.
White was minus 24 in 14 minutes. Grant was minus 23
in
6 minutes.
6 minutes.
And Pritchard was minus 20 in like 8 minutes.
Dude, it was like the end of the first quarter, and the announcers were like, "Yeah, the bench is minus 50." I'm like, "There's no way that's true."
it was unbelievable that those stats, minus 23 in 6 minutes is the worst I've ever seen. I can't remember a number like that.
Are we a Warriors show now? Look at our background. It's blue. Flip flop. We're like Stephen A. We're a Warriors show now.
You might as well be.
Yeah, might as well be. I agree wholeheartedly.
But that was incredible. Like, we thought we were talking about adjustments yesterday on our show, you know, Bobby Josue and I. And we thought, since Ime mentioned he might change things up, that it wouldn't be Derek White coming in off the bench for that, for Rob early, and that he might mix it up a little bit. And he went, we thought maybe he'd go to Grant and maybe even try Grant at some small ball five and try to get shooters out there. And Grant and Pritchard and Tatum and Brown or something like that might have been it. And instead, Grant was the last guy off the bench. So Ime completely
Grant
lost
got
faith
bullied.
In him.
John,
Grant got
5 points
he needs
off
to
the
change
bench.
His name to Draymond's.
The Celtics bench scored 5 points. Am I looking at the third quarter box or is this the full game?
You tell us, Nick.
You're the one. Buddy? It's your screen, Nick.
Yeah, Nick. It is the full game. And right now it's saying Grant Williams, 3 points.
Yeah.
And Derek White, 2 points. 5 points? Guys, that's a story. Besides Tatum, how could you have a bench in the NBA Finals that scores 5 points?
Well, the Celtics, Sherrod called it. Celtics did go to Hauser at the end of the game. It's just too little too late.
Too little too late, Sherrod.
Yeah, you called it.
It's not how you envisioned it going, but.
But I mean, we got an entire summer to get into what the hell they need. But I think that this really, this entire postseason run has made it abundantly clear. They need shooters. They need guys who actually have that as their specialty. I am at the point where I don't give a damn how bad you defend the ball.
Don't
if you can make
even
shots,
apply. Don't even apply if you can't shoot.
Yeah.
Exactly. Right. Exactly. I mean, there needs to be like an open call for shooters. If you're 6'5" or taller and you can shoot the hell out of the ball, there's a spot for you. Sorry, Jimmy. Jimmy Toscano's not.
Jimmy doesn't qualify.
This leads into Jimmy's wheelhouse here as we talk about offense versus defense. Defense is the reason this team went as far as they did. Defense is the reason they turned the season around. Offense is the reason that they lost, and they lost in an embarrassing way. And everything you're going to address. So there's a tipping point there. Defense is important, but again, every team, even good teams like Golden State, Milwaukee, Miami have guys on their team who have roles, and those roles are to score the basketball. And those guys are guys you have to find creative ways to hide defensively. This weird insistence on, and maybe this is just how the roster construction ended up, and they realized this year, okay, we're better off really locking in on D and just letting the wings cook. But if it's a philosophy that everybody here's got to play D because we got to be this switchable monster and that's the only way it works here, that's going to be a problem because you need guys who can put the ball in the basket. And right now, it's friggin' bad. And that's what submarined them here. You have to have guys whose job it is to score and have them actually be good at it. They can't be named Peyton Pritchard. You know, and nothing against him. He'll come in and get hot every once in
everything
a while.
Everything against him.
It's not a guy you're counting on, you know, and this is one thing I really got in on earlier in the year, this notion that Grant and Pritchard are solid bench pieces. No. What are you going to do this offseason, win or lose the title? You're going to go and you're going to look for people to play ahead of Pritchard and Grant. You're going to look for guys who can be your seventh and eighth or sixth and seventh guys coming off the bench. And you can get that maybe if you spend into the tax and you use the TPE and you use the MLE.
Guys, do they need a point guard?
But and yes, you still do. That's kind of the problem. But we're not. It's going to become a whole offseason show. But really, it's the offense. I'm doubling down on what Sherrod said. The guys have to be able to shoot, or else what good are you here?
That's literally. I mean, if you had to pinpoint all the things that the Celtics did wrong, if you could say, okay, we're going to give you one of the many things that you do wrong to add to your roster. What would that one thing be? And if that one thing was shooting, we'll probably have a different kind of celebration right now because those
basketball team that can't shoot.
Those drops that they go on, they need someone who can get them over the hump.
So if Derek White wasn't Derek White, but was a guy who was the shooting equivalent of whatever Derek White was supposed to be with all the intangibles.
So the best offensive player in the NBA.
Right, right. Because Derek White's awesome at everything except for scoring. So if you got somebody who was just a specialist and a scorer. And again, I'm not going to crap on Bobby because he was here, but every time we'd bring up a name, it'd be like, that guy can't defend. We know not everybody's perfect. Right. If you can score 18 to 20 a game and defend, guess what? You're making $30 million and the Celtics aren't going to be able to get you at the trade deadline for friggin' Romeo Langford. That's not an option. So anybody you get is going to be flawed. And you know what? Derek White is somewhat flawed and we saw it in a, and that's it. I mean, he can't score.
Are they going to go? I don't want to make it an offseason.
You got to be able to score. So I wonder what would happen.
So why did they go get Derek White then? If they needed, they must have known they needed scoring.
Because Derek White checks off a lot of the boxes that you have. He gives you an element of versatility. If you're a team that's all about having defensive switchability, Derek White is a perfect wing guy for you because he can literally switch damn near every position and not crush you on that mismatch. But to John's point, he can't shoot.
I think they thought he could shoot better than he did.
They projected exactly, Jimmy.
Yeah. And Pritchard, if we really want to start breaking down who did and did not do what, Pritchard's the guy that really underachieved in the series. Because literally Williams, his job is to make shots.
And Derek and Jason and Marcus.
And Deuce. And Deuce.
And a Partridge like and a Pritchard. Yeah.
Blame Pie, 80% Peyton Pritchard's.
80% Deuce.
No, do not pick on Deuce. No.
Deuce is the one.
You know, there will be no Deuce slander on this show.
There will be no Deuce slander, Nick.
What's in that?
Father's Day. Have we done this yet?
We have not.
We need a fresh start, my friend.
Hello,
okay?
Fresh. Goodbye, Celtics.
Jimmy was dying. T-shirts, Nick.
Well done, Jimmy.
Swag
Hello, Fresh. Goodbye, Celtics.
Yeah, I don't think
we We do want to tell you guys a little bit about our sponsor while we have you here. HelloFresh. Delicious. I got my meal kit. I got a box.
I had something besides the meatloaves.
What'd you get?
I had this like Asian pork bowl thing with Jiggy. It was really good.
Yeah.
Okay. I was shocked. Okay.
Yeah.
It's not as good as the meatloaf, but it's pretty damn good.
I mean,
your meatloaf's the best. So.
Can't beat the meatloaf.
It is. Their meatloaf, it's a nice silver medalist type meatloaf. It's good.
Yeah, I like that. All right.
Anyway, so again, as we said, don't go to restaurants. They're expensive as hell and they keep raising prices for no good reason. Grocery shopping, who's got time, right? HelloFresh, baby. Farm fresh ingredients delivered to your doorstep, pre-portioned, packaged. Customizable menus, seasonal menus. You can get whatever you want. Just cook it. That's it. You don't have to do a friggin' thing. Just take it, cook it, bang. Delicious gourmet restaurant quality meals. Again, delivered right to your doorstep. We're in the spring menu now, but there's going to be a summer menu coming. You can pick whether you want family style. You want to get it for two people, three people, one person. I get the four-person meal for one person. That's how I roll. Okay, that's what I do. I get the family-sized meatloaf, and I just start to eat it right through the middle of it with a spoon.
You're eating the whole thing.
I eat the whole thing, at least 80% of it, and I'll go back and I'll get the rest later. But again, in order to do it, and if you want to support us and support our sponsors, please use this URL, HelloFresh.com/playoff16. Pretty sad, right?
Yeah. 16. We may 16 need to change the code.
Playoff 14.
Well, hey, if you happen to be a Warriors fan and you're watching the show,
you got 16.
You can get HelloFresh to you as well.
You guys won the championship. You assholes buy this. Yeah.
Yeah. All the trolls. All the Warriors. Trolls.
You guys. This thing's. Okay.
I don't want to get John going, but John, if you were to see this chat, it's like transporting back to the first half of the season. Blow it up.
I know. It's America's number one meal kit, so you guys at Golden State, buy it too. But you got to use this URL or we don't get the credit, and we want to be able to keep pumping out this content to you guys throughout the offseason. Jeez, the draft is in like 5 days, guys. We got a lot of work to do. We got bills to pay.
Don't talk to me about the draft. HelloFresh.com/playoff16.
Use the code playoff16. 16 free meals, 3 free gifts. Yeah, Nick, I mean, this is where it's going to go, right? It's going to go immediately to blow it up. I hate this team.
Wick's got to spend.
So I'll start with you, Sherrod. Let me ask you a question. Had they lost to Milwaukee, do you feel any different that they made it to the finals versus had they lost in seven games to Milwaukee or seven games to Miami?
No. I mean, listen, whether they lost in the finals or lost in the second round, they were going to have to go out and get a shooter. this offseason.
They had still some things.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's to me, what happened in the finals, it just only amplified the problems that we've seen all season with these guys. They need shooters. They have too many stretches where they just lose their minds and go away from things at work. I don't know whether that's just one of those things. Ime's just got to beat the hell into their brains that if I'm giving the ball to Marcus Smart on the block and he's navigating and getting guys shots, let's just keep giving him the ball on the block until something doesn't work. If Jaylen Brown is getting a mismatch where he's getting switched out on whoever and we're making things happen, let's keep doing that. So that
this is another
good one. Nothing has changed. Jason Terry. Oh, damn. Damn.
That was a good one. Jason Tantrum.
Jason Tantrum. Damn. The Jason Trade Room. That one was pretty good, though. I like the Trade Room better. That was pretty damn funny. Damn, y'all. Dude, y'all I cold. Yo, the body's not even cold yet. Damn.
Ruthless. You are
that's,
ill.
That's the nicest Ruth. Thing Tatum's going to hear over the next few days, man. He's lucky tomorrow's Friday.
He did not have the series, obviously, we thought he would have or certainly he wanted to have. But, damn it, he still can ball. Don't act like he's a bum or a bust.
Let me ask you this question.
He can ball out. That's what makes it so frustrating. Why wasn't he balling out?
Let me ask you this question.
Oh, no.
Mr. First Team All-NBA thing.
That's the thing. Is it possible that Jason Tatum, in a year that he made first team All-NBA and finished sixth in MVP voting, had his reputation diminished?
No. The finals, yeah, absolutely.
I believe people think less of Jason Tatum now than they did at the end of last year because of this grand stage.
That might be better than before. You should have torn his ACL. That might be better.
That solves everything.
Jimmy, I hate even the thought of that.
That goes back to the Kemba. That was the Kemba. This old take.
I know what it was. It's still painful.
Inside baseball.
Yeah, you have to be a regular.
But no, Sherrod, what do you think? I mean, because again, it's laying an egg this bad on this stage. That's again. Great power, great responsibility. You're the star. The expectation is elevated, not just for you, but for the team. If you played like the best team in basketball the second half of the season, then it's fair to expect you to be the best team in basketball. And that just comes with the territory. So no free passes, no attaboy, no pats on the butt like you guys did it. Like, the expectation level changed for everyone. For Tatum, because now he's a first-team All-NBA player, and for the team, because they were the best team in basketball. So it's... You're holding them to a different standard, and neither the team nor Tatum met it, and their failures go hand in hand.
Absolutely, and there's no getting around the fact that Tatum, I mean, remember, for most of his career, really up until the last year or two, it was always young star on the rise, coming of age, getting there, not quite there yet. Oh, he arrived. If you make first team All-NBA, there's no come up. You are at the mountaintop at that point. So once you're in that type of elite company, you got to get it done. You got to deliver. I don't care about your shoulder. I don't care about your back. I don't care about your blisters or any other bullshit excuse that people come up. You got to get it done. And he didn't. He didn't. He's got the entire summer to think about that and what he's got to do to get better.
And if he's anything like the superstar we want feel he could be, he's going to be out there. He's going to take a week or two off and be out there working on every facet of his game.
That Danny Granger comparison is cold.
That is mean, I've never said anything that mean.
He's a million times better than Danny Granger.
I don't know if I love that or hate that.
I have never said anything.
Why does Isaiah Thomas continue to throw shade? I've never said anything that mean. Can I ask that? Speaking of knees.
That is ruthless.
It's on Tatum, not Smart.
Granger had a couple Smart, of games. He got. He was the guy I think who got hurt, I think.
Who is this person? What are you watching if you're happy that we choked? Definitely. Go watch something else. Go watch a Warriors postgame show.
Draymond's burner.
That's a Warriors show. Yo, HelloFresh.
Draymond's burner.
Go buy HelloFresh and then go watch a Warriors show.
I'm a little surprised and somewhat disappointed that Draymond didn't curse when he gave his championship comments to Lisa. I was fully expecting him to say "F you, Celtics fans." I was so waiting for that.
I'll tell you what.
F you, Cedric Maxwell. They got into it after the last game.
He really doesn't want that smoke, though. Good. I mean, I know he's young. I know he's feeling himself. Cedric, he doesn't want that smoke with Cedric. He really does.
He learned that quick, I think.
He was good tonight. he was good tonight. That was some insult to injury. He played well. Mm-hmm. He had some really nice passes. Did his
passing
thing.
Was great.
Bullied Grant.
His best game in the series. This was his best game of the series, I thought.
Hit a big three. Hit another outside. They put Robin. They subbed the Tatum out. They put Robin. Tatum. I mean, Rob pulls Grant away, covers Draymond, and then they inbound to Draymond, and then Rob just gives him a free shot, and he hits the shot. It was like, okay.
The lack of focus and concentration, it just permeates and hurts every facet of what they do good on this team. I mean, the turnovers, missing coverages, like you're saying, Jimmy. You know, for how good they are at switching, everything else kind of just suffers when it's like a snowball effect. And I honestly go back to leadership because there's nobody there to just settle down the troops. Ime can't put on a uniform. Not that you want him to, but they look at him like he's the big brother, right? Or the
yeah.
And you need somebody there that's going to really take the leadership reins. And I think Tatum could do that, but it's just not right now. I think this is part of that growing process.
According to
I don't want to hear about the shoulder.
According to Anthony Slater, is it Anthony Slater? The the Athletic Warriors reporter. The entire Warriors locker room in a champagne celebration right now is chanting "F you, Draymond."
I like it.
I love it.
And then they'll be at the encore doing that. Everybody, Celtic fans, head up to the encore.
F you or the actual?
Am I the actual word?
Am I the only one that anticipates seeing some F you Draymond t-shirts brought to you by Draymond Green?
Yes, yeah. I guarantee you that.
I'm telling. Listen.
Got to give him credit.
I might buy one. I'm not going to lie. Too. I might buy one.
You know what? Let's print them.
What do we do it, Danny?
I'm a Draymond.
There you go, Nick. There you go,
I'm officially a Draymond Green fan after this series.
Guys. Of course, let me give you. I'm gonna head out because I gotta hit a cruise.
He dominated their minds. He freaking.
I gotta hit a cruise out to Bermuda tomorrow, so I'm gonna head out. But
wouldn't have taken if the Celtics went to game seven.
John's ignoring me totally.
Wow,
John,
can you hear me?
Yeah,
I'm talking. Yeah,
I'm heading out now.
Let's hear what you have to say.
All right, Nick. Final thoughts from Nick.
Yes, my final thoughts are. They got a whole.
Thank you very much, Nick.
All right, Nick. Have a good time.
No. Let me get this out.
Enjoy Bermuda, Nick.
They got a whole lot of time ahead of them
on the other side, buddy.
Bermuda Cam.
There he is, Nick Gelso, everybody.
Wait, where'd he go?
No, I messed with him.
Oh, I was trying to put him on there. I tried to go.
Come on, put me on the screen. Okay.
I tried to go full Bermuda Cam. Yeah.
This is our second time covering the finals. This show. Both times are a loss, but I want to thank the fans who tuned in every night after every game to listen to these guys, and I'm one of these fans. Thank you. I'm sure John will tell you what we're doing in the off season. I'm going to go boomerang down in Bermuda. I'm going to Bermuda rage, and go Celtics. Keep the faith.
Off
thank
season,
you guys.
Nick. All I'm right. off. I'm basically off the month of July, so we'll
John,
talk about the off season in
June,
August.
June, July, August. Do it all. You deserve it. All you guys, take a break. Go to Disney World.
Take
later.
A break. All right.
Well,
Nick,
in that case, I'll see you guys later.
The founder, the founder, the podfather
himself. Yes.
Yep. Has Nick, spoken. He has Nick. Spoken.
Does he claim is. To have created podcasts. So
he has blessed this show, the Podfather.
Oh, man. Okay. Let's reset, John.
Let's reset. What's that?
Let's just reset here.
Let's reset. Okay. Welcome into the Garden Report, everybody. This is John Zanis along Acherod, Blakely, and Jimmy Toscano, where the Boston Celtics, your Boston Celtics, came up short. In a spirited effort and a season to celebrate and something we'll be talking about forever. Historic turnaround and a comeback. And again, everything everyone is going to say, here's where the conversation is going to, where people are going to struggle to see the nuance in the conversation that people are going to have about this team in the offseason. Yes, it was a tremendous turnaround. Yes, they deserve all sorts of adulation and praise for turning their season around. Yes, it was unexpected. None of that changes how people feel about the team and what they're going to do, and nor I don't think should it. You're not going to get complacent even if you won it. There'd be roster issues and construction issues and different things you were going to question, regardless of outcome. All of that stuff is fair game. So I'm not going to sit here and say fans should feel one way or should feel another. And a lot of people will be saying that. And I say, come on, save it, okay? Feel the way you want to feel. Be super happy and satisfied with the way the season ended, or demand more, demand change, demand running it back, but better effort, whatever it is. All of these things are on the table. We don't really know what the future holds. What I do think is, if you are in love with this team or these players or this core, they all have to be a little bit better than they are right now, which means that it's about trajectory. Do you still believe in the trajectory of Tatum, Brown, Rob, and Smart? Because that's your core. Do they need pieces around them? Of course, every team does. You know, you see the Nets crumbling with their bench around them when they were losing key pieces and key support pieces along the way. Everybody needs the supporting cast, but do you believe in that core? And I think that that's where most of the conversation centers around, not like wild speculation about going to get like John Wall or something silly. It's going to be these guys with maybe a couple of added parts, unless you want to do something drastic, whatever. So that's fine. So, I mean, how do you guys feel about the core going forward after the season, the turnaround, and the way that they kind of, you know, flamed out here at the end?
I think you have to definitely, well, first of all, I think the question about whether Jaylen and Jason can play together, I think they've shown throughout the course of the postseason that, yeah, when they're both playing at close to their peak optimal game, they can be very effective together. But the more you watch them play, I think there are more questions about really who should be the alpha of those two. Jaylen Brown has stretches where, he's damn difficult to guard. That ability to drive and finish at the basket, which I don't think he does enough of.
He's quicker.
His handle has – yeah, he's a quicker player. His handle
just,
has to get
He's able
better.
To get by people better than Tatum. Can't get by people, really.
Right. And that's why I think they work so well to complement each other, because Tatum has that outside fire game. Jaylen can get to the rim and finish. But Jaylen's handle has to get better. Too many turnovers. They do.
I thought you said they work so well to complement each other.
They do complement each other. Jaylen has the inside finish at the rim. Tatum, knock down shots from the perimeter. But the one thing that they're still struggling to figure out, and they have moments where you just can't understand what the hell's going on in their heads, is they don't seem to recognize when the other one has it rolling. How can they help that guy? Like when Jaylen has it going, Tatum is just kind of, floating out there, waiting to get the rock. He's got to be more active and engaged. You look at Steph. To me, Steph Curry and Klay Thompson, that's the blueprint for how you can work in concert with each other. Steph is a much better finisher at the rim than he ever gets credit for. Celtics saw that firsthand. And Klay is much more of a perimeter guy who will occasionally get not into the paint, but just get into that mid-range real estate and do some damage that way. Figure out how you can play off each other better. I think that needs to be there. Those two need to, if we're being honest and real, this is the summer where they need to gather all those guys together in LA or Chicago or Atlanta and have like a mini voluntary workout together. They need to do that.
No.
Yes, they do, John.
They do, but Tatum's going to do it with his boys. Jaylen's going to go around the world somewhere.
That's the problem, John. They've got to kill that individual bullshit.
They won't.
This might be the summer they do it. If it's going to happen, it'll happen this summer.
This needs to be a very dark, dark summer for these guys. This needs to be one of those summers where they lock themselves in the gym and they just really they really just take in this feeling. I hope that they all watched the Warriors celebration on their home court and just let it soak in. And just have a KG-type mentality and, like, hate for everything but winning basketball games. That's what Tatum needs. It's not his skill. We know that he's one of the most skilled players in the NBA. But it's the mental aspect of it. It's the mood swings. It's the complaining. It's the completely disappearing for stretches of games and really multiple games and You can't have it both ways. You can't want to be known as a top five player, but then put in performances like this. And I know that he still has years ahead of him, and he's still on that trajectory, I would anticipate. But damn, like, it's these types of games that make people pull their hair out. And it's these types of games where it has people in the chat, and I know people who aren't in the chat or are just watching, who say, I don't know if I trust this guy to lead the team.
So,
well, my thing, go ahead, John.
I was just going to ask you to follow up on that, Sherrod. Like, whether it's Jalen, whether it's – I don't think Jason accepts a role as a non-alpha. I think you're going 1A, 1B, and it really George and Kawhi is the best comp. I don't think George feels like he's the Robin to Kawhi's Batman. I think they just feel like they're two outstanding players, each of whom brings a lot of different skills to a game. And that's the obvious comparison. My question specifically about Tatum is, everyone keeps pointing to the he's only 24, nobody's won games with teams under this side. And sure, but is maturity assured? You know, is improvement assured? If you're, have you seen, and I, again, I caught heat for saying this, but I believe Jason Tatum has, you know, obviously massive skills, but at 24, I actually think he's less mature than 24. As a fifth year pro, I actually expect a little bit more from him in terms of being able to handle this stuff, the complaining and all of those things. I think he's not great at that, and it's a little frustrating for me. I don't know if you see it that way. I think he should be better.
I would hope that he would be better.
Not just, you know, going Jimmy, to get better. I think he should be better now.
Right. Of all the different things that Jimmy had kind of ran down about Tatum, to me, the disappearing in the fourth quarter is literally the only thing I care about, because all that other stuff, I can deal with the hands waving when he gets fouled and all that. But if you're getting it done in the fourth quarter, all that other stuff is immaterial. All that other stuff doesn't mean a damn thing if you're handling your business when the game is on the line. And that is what Tatum has come up short time and time again in the finals. And we've seen that, you know, throughout really this postseason run. I mean, think about the game 7 win over Milwaukee. That was not Tatum's game. That was Grant Williams. Grant freaking Williams.
It was like a long time
was the guy that said, yeah, but he needs to have those type of signature games. And he's had some good games in the fourth quarter, but he hasn't had as many of those. Everybody on my back.
Right.
I'm going to carry us to the finish line.
Right.
Just do a Cedric Maxwell thing and just get hop on. I got you. But he doesn't have enough games like that.
You know what, Sherrod, though? And I agree with you completely on the fourth quarter issues, but it's not easy if you go three quarters of disengaged or, you know, sulking or just off to just turn a switch in the fourth quarter. That I think if he changes his style or changes his mentality, whatever it is, the fourth quarter performance might come because of that. I don't think it's easy to just turn it on like that if you've been feeling a certain way for the first, you know, 36 minutes or whatever it is. So I agree with you, but I think it's more than just, oh, he just needs to play better in the fourth quarter. There's steps involved to get to that point, and I just don't know if he's figured out what it's going to take for him to get to that point yet. Because, again, we talk about how the Celtics kept losing games the same way in the series. I feel like we were seeing Tatum struggle in a lot of the same ways too. The two go hand in hand.
Yeah, I would agree. He has to figure this out, because really it's you know, there's a number of things that are keeping him from being, I think, you know, one of the all-time greats, and this is one of them. Just finding that inner killer. He's a great player, great skill.
He went a few weeks where he was kissing, blowing kisses to the crowd. And we were like, there's swagger. There's that swagger for Tatum. There was a stretch.
I can't remember the last time he did that.
Where'd that go? Well, in his defense, there wasn't many of those moments, but there was a stretch towards the end of the regular season and at points where he was blowing kisses left and right. And I was saying, you know, this Tatum's becoming a player that opposing teams' fans show up to the game to go see. He was in that type of zone. And
I think he's still that type of player.
He still has it in him.
But honestly, where'd
it go? You know?
I think we're being nice right now.
We are.
We're being nice because nobody wants to hear this guy sucks, you know, because that's reactionary.
We're just coming off the game here, and you know.
So we're being nice. This was atrocious.
This was bad.
For some people, in a career defining sort of way, like, you know, this. Unless they get back here and he has a completely different performance, this sticks. Okay,
totally.
and a finals meltdown, shrinking, looking like you didn't belong, looking like you weren't even the best player, the second or third best player on your team, absolutely running from the moment and just looking really, really small. That's not going anywhere. That's what people will remember. No one's remembering 46 against Milwaukee. I'm sorry. Nobody's remembering a bunch of 50-point games this season, even though they did happen. Right or not, that stuff follows people, you know? Paul George, blah, 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 you know, like, well, whatever it is. If you're not Chris Paul, you know, the guys who are getting dogged, you know, their entire careers, despite a tremendous body of work, yeah, that's not going anywhere. This was horrible.
It was. He's gonna get. He's, trust me. I mean, people horrible. Who want to find people who are want to look for more Tatum hate, they just have to turn on the radio or turn on the TV over the next couple of days, couple of weeks. You'll find it because we Nick said it off the top of the show. I mean, non-existent, invisible, lackadaisical, whatever word you want to use for his performance, not just tonight, but really, pretty much the whole series. It's hard to defend it. It really, really is, and it has to make you question. I mean, the diehard fans who have watched Tatum, they know what he's capable of. The casual fans who are just tuning in, you know, for the NBA Finals, are going to be like, this is the guy they're hitching their wagon to? This is Mr.
But
First Team All-NBA.
But the diehard fans are the ones who've seen it, who will defend him and say he's still great. And honestly, if you've watched it all, those questions do have to come up. How can they not? Again, if you're a Celtics fan, you have to think, if this were another team, how would I feel? If you watch the Philadelphia 76ers playing in the finals and Joel Embiid scored 10 points or 9 points in a couple of back-to-back games, was turning it over, missing shots, missing free throws, wouldn't you be like, he's not the guy, man. They'll never get there. Or if someone else did it with someone else, that's the reaction you would have. So you have to look at your guy and say, why did that happen? You know?
Right.
And he's got to find a way to wash that stink off of him, you know, next year. Him probably more than anybody. I know he's gassed, but he's got to want to get back here right away and start putting up numbers and big performances and looking like a star again, because this is what's going to linger for people.
And it's not to say that we don't think he cares about winning or wants to play hard and all those things. Like
he sucks. He was really bad.
And I'm sure that he's going to, you know, take it harder than anyone else. And like I said, maybe it'll be an off season where it turns him into more of a killer. Like Sherrod said, you know, sometimes you need to feel these types of losses to really, you know, change your ways. So it's all going to be on how he learns from it, because we know what he's capable of skill wise. I think it's all upstairs. Maturity is maybe it, you know?
You're right. And it's going to be an overreaction. And some people might think this is an overreaction. I think it's honest. I think you have to ask questions. You have to ask these questions after a performance like this. It was that bad. It was really that bad.
You almost have to wonder if he's thinking about it out there. If he's very cognizant of the fact that he's not playing well, and that's just kind of snowballing and making it worse. Because, you know, I feel like some players they are in their own heads out there a little bit more than others. Like, you got your cornerbacks who can forget the next play and go back out and go out there again. And you got players who kind of let it linger a little bit. And I wonder if he's dealing with a little bit of that.
Yeah. I don't know. We'll find out. I bet you there's going to be some things where you're going to hear in the next days, this was really bad. Marcus was playing through things that if it was a regular season, he probably would have missed 2 weeks. I guarantee on Marcus. Yeah. I bet you Marcus played through injuries that he should have missed multiple
weeks with. Yes.
So
yes. That.
I'm definitely, without
Sherrod
knowing.
Sherrod seems pretty confident about that.
No, John, finish your thought. Yeah.
No. I'm confident on that. I think that Stinger was an inconvenience, but not as big a hindrance. Now he's saying, there's a quote, Tatum said he doesn't think he'll need a procedure on his right shoulder. I don't know how bad he hurt it, if he strained things, ligaments, whatever. I'm not really sure there. But it really wasn't – that excuse would make sense if his shot was off. It wasn't his shot that was off. It was his entire game that was off, okay? And so I'm not going to give a full pass there. If he was just, maybe some of those free throws came up short. Maybe some of those jumpers late in the fourth quarter, you know, came up short as a result. We're not banging him here for shooting here. We're banging him for his, like, for his turnovers and for just – the overall ineffectiveness of his game. And if he knew he wasn't scoring or he wasn't shooting as well, then he should have tried to become a facilitator first instead of doing what he was doing. I mean, his right shoulder didn't make his left hand miss 12 layups this series. I'm sorry. It just didn't happen that way. So it's just not enough of a reason for the performance, but I'm sure not being 100% sucks. And that's, you know, and I get that from him, but yeah, Marcus, we know, Rob, we know. Could it have been a different story if they were fully healthy? Yeah, maybe. You know, we'll hear some stuff there, but I don't know. Tatum's going to get all the ink here right now, I think. Tatum in the bench. That's where it's going to fall right now.
Jaylen Brown skates free. Look at that.
Well, he has to.
Good. He was good tonight.
He has to.
No, he was great. He was good. Yeah, I mean, he was their best player in the finals.
Clearly.
By far.
Clearly.
And really, all said and done, he might have been their best overall player all playoffs. I mean, when you consider how it went for Tatum here.
Yeah. It's going to be funny when, like, the people who told Tatum to stop shooting mid-range jumpers go to him in this offseason and be like, so we were thinking. The boys in marketing got together and we, you know, we decided mid-range is kind of coming back in a big way. So why don't you work on this new stat. Yeah. Again, the same thing we talked about with Tatum, I think, is just kind of with the team applies to Tatum is everything – he's just got to process things a little bit quicker. There's not enough time for Jason to play Jason's style of ball. It just doesn't fit, especially if he's going to be getting all this added attention. He can't wait for the defense to set, for people to know where he's going, have everybody else standing around wondering what you're going to do. You know, you got to help other people help you a little bit. And when you stop the ball the way he does and kind of slow things down, that's always going to be harder because everyone's all eyes are on you and everyone else, your teammates are standing around like, what am I supposed to do? Just wait in case you kick it to me. There's really not much you can get going there. So I think it's a little bit of an approach thing. Again, I think he has to get stronger. Again, I think he's got to work on his left. He's got to work on his handle too. There's areas of his game that can develop too. But a lot of it is approach based, I think.
That's
Sherrod. Yeah, I mean, Tatum, it's clear that what's holding him back has nothing to do with skills. It has nothing to do with growing into his body because he's physically stronger, so he can withstand a lot more punishment than he could 2, 3, 4 years ago. It's a mental game right now. That's the part of his game that really has to make, I think, quantum leaps going forward because your best player should not be MIA in a fourth quarter as much as he is. Your best player can't just allow a non-call to debilitate him the way Tatum does. I mean, how many times have we seen Tatum not get a call, and the next thing you know, the other team has a 4-on-3 break, and the guy that finishes is the guy that Tatum should have been guarding. He's got to be better than that. He's got to be mentally tougher than what we've seen so far. And I think he will be. I think he's going to take this harder than anyone on the team. And he should.
Will he for sure?
I think he will. But here's the thing. John, here's
or
the thing
is he going to sit back and say, I didn't play great here, but I'm still first team all NBA. So the season was a success.
I think he'll take it hard.
I think he's gonna take it hard because he's running out of excuses for why things don't work out. And at some point, you got to look at the mirror and just say, shit, this is on me. I got to be better. What can I do to be better?
People are saying in the press conference right now. To this point, Sherrod, real quick, just I'm getting texts on this. Just to your point, Sherrod, people are saying this is as kind of beat up and emotional as people have seen Tatum in a press conference. And it does look like he's taking this particularly hard. So
it's not a surprise that he's taking it hard. And I want him to. I think if you're a Celtics fan,
I was gonna
to
say
see
good,
him in pain.
But I thought that
you
would
want
be,
to
that
see him.
Well, that's kind of what I said, right? Want it to be a dark.
Here's the thing. Tatum is still, and again, this is not an excuse for why he sucked, but it's the reality that he's still learning how to become a leader. He's learning how to become a great player. And part of that learning process is to screw things up. Part of that learning process is to not be great. And Tatum, he should be taking this hard. He should be pissed at himself for not playing better. But to me, that's just stage one. Next stage, what the hell are you going to do about it?
What are you going to do to be better? And that's where Tatum's at right now, because he's beyond the point where he's got to get better at this part of the game. That it's mental now. He has to become a stronger player mentally, and you know, Brad's got to get him a little more talent, particularly on the perimeter. Someone can actually knock down a shot besides himself. So,
Brad,
yeah. I think he'll be
Brad
fine
on the show.
What's that?
First time we've said Brad on the show tonight. Brad, that guy. I wonder if he'll be back next year.
Brad Stevens?
Yeah. No, Brad Pitt.
Brad Pitt?
Such a smart ass, Jimmy.
I don't think Brad's going anywhere.
You don't? You don't think he's going to get some Godfather offer to coach somewhere?
But, Jim, here's the thing.
The offer, that's going to Quinn, you know?
Yeah, you know it.
Would he take a deal like that somewhere else at some point? Coaching Grand Poobah, maybe.
Well, I mean, I know Brad is really enjoying the lifestyle change that he's going through from being a head coach where you've got so much stress to, frankly, more of a 9-to-5-ish job as a GM. Spending time with the family. I know that's a really big deal.
Better be more than 9-to-5.
Compared to being a head coach, a GM is more 9-to-5. I said more 9-to-5. It's not obviously not. Such an asshole, Jimmy. I swear.
My bad.
That's who you are.
Proceed.
They could use you in the locker room. They could use you in the locker room right about now.
Punching bag.
No, but Brad, no, I fully expect Brad to be back and just kind of doing his thing. But he has to get more talent around Tatum, specific guys that can make shots. I mean, Sam Hauser Sam Hauser might be their Max Strus 2.0.
I think it's more Wick than Brad, truthfully, but, you know, I think
you need Wick's signature. You need Wick's stamp.
It's how deep into the tax are you getting? If there's a cap, not going a cent over, like I said, is you've got a TPE you can use. You've got, you know, mid-level. That's going to put you well into the tax if you use both of those things. Are they going to? I don't know, but that's how you're going to improve, because, you know, this is the problem. This is the problem. This was the problem heading into this year. They were going to be an expensive, we thought, average team. And that would have been, you know, if they re-signed, you know, Fournier or whatever, they were going to be a really expensive average team if they did that. They chose not to. And obviously they reached this point, but you have no draft picks and you have no up and coming talent in the pipeline that's really going to be able to crack a starting lineup or really be a strong contributor beyond Grant. It's the best thing you've got in the pipeline. That's not good enough. And you have no way of acquiring it through trade chips. All you can do is spend money. You can only throw money at the problem. You can take a contract someone doesn't want into that TPE. Or you spend, you know, another whatever into the mid-level. That's it. There's really not a lot of creative ways without trading a core piece at getting better. So it's going to be another one of these nickel and dime sort of offseason in terms of moves. I just don't think I don't think you should be worried about splashy. I think you should be worried about, can Tatum and Brown take another leap next year? Can Rob, fully healthy, evolve his game, come in shape, develop some sort of face-up game? Can Marcus Smart in year two become a purer point guard? Can Derek White find a way to fit, you know, find a role offensively? That's the key. It's going to be self-improvement. It's not going to be a lot else. Everyone's going to look for help from other places. Maybe you get a serviceable 3-and-D wing, you know, that can, you know, eat some minutes, but I wouldn't hold your breath on huge, you know,
no
huge changes.
I mean,
they're going to run it back largely.
I
think they are.
I'm not going to.
I would agree.
I think they probably will too. I mean,
and it might be good enough. That's the whole thing. Available. If you went to the finals and you have a young core, and if each person gets 5% better, that's good. You know, that you might not need it as much as you think you need it. You may need something very small. It's not the end of the world, but you have to determine. I mean, this is kind of the put up or shut up year with Jaylen. Like, not only are you committed to him, do you think he's committed to you? You know, this is kind of the off season where we said, like, if the Celtics shit the bed, is Jaylen going to be looking for the door? You know, we don't know where Jaylen's mind is. We don't know what his thought process is. If you're 100% certain he's re-signing here, Yeah, but if you're 100% certain he's resigning here, you don't really have anything to worry about because you know you're going to have your core players locked up. But if you're concerned at all, you start to have to start to think about those. You need to have those conversations. Like he's staying, right? We can't risk him not being here and get stuck holding the bag. So there's a lot of stuff we're going to talk about in the offseason, you know, which is coming up fast. It's incredible. You got the draft in like a week and you have free agency starting in like 11 days. So things are going to happen and they're going to happen really fast. We really don't have the luxury of time here.
They traded their
Those TPEs don't expire for a little bit. Right. And they traded their pick. So they got 53 and that's it.
Oh, that's riveting. Where are these two? Where are the two Parquet brothers, Joe Sway and Bobby? Are they still deep in the depths of the TD Garden right now, or what?
I don't know. I heard a bleep. I think Bobby's coming in.
I just heard a bleep too. Everybody, brace yourself.
The picture looks black to me. Do you see anything, Jimmy?
Looks black.
The
to
Bobby
me too.
Manning picture.
It's the best he's ever looked. It's just a black box. Oh,
all right, here we go.
Starting to see. Hey!
Bobby Manning, final thoughts.
You have sum it up in 5 words, Bobby.
You got 30 seconds, go.
Disappointing. It definitely is.
All right, Bobby Manning, everybody.
Thank you, Bobby. Appreciate it, dude. Good season. Real good season.
No, just kidding. Go for it. It's what we do. It's like pledging.
It never gets old for me either.
You're in, Bobby. You're in.
Oh, I killed his audio, didn't I?
Oh, his audio. He's muted.
You're muted, yeah. Bobby. Try it again.
Oh.
Yeah, it's hard.
Go ahead.
It's hard for me to get overly negative about it, looking ahead into the future, but it definitely...
This guy... His final thoughts, and we can't even, you know, it wouldn't be the Garden Report without a final thought of the final game.
Joe Sway like decided that. just to glitch out for the whole show. That's his encore performance on the Garden Report season. His Wi-Fi prevented him from ever getting on.
Brockton Wi-Fi strikes one last time.
He's the only guy with wireless Brockton Wi-Fi. He has a MiFi pack of Brockton Wi-Fi he travels with.
Unbelievable. Is that what he said? He's definitely not. He's toast.
Who's toast?
Joe Sway.
No, I don't know. It looked like he tried to jump on for like 10 seconds and then left. Well, I think Bobby Manning said it all there, guys. I
took the words right out of my mouth.
Yeah, and that really puts a nice bow on things.
I gave him 5 words and he said, I only need one. And he was right. We only needed that one word, disappointing. That's like John. He's not mad. He's just extremely, extremely disappointed.
Worst thing. Knowing
it's worse than being mad.
Yeah. All right. We'll give
another bloop.
Another bloop. Bobby Manning is threatening to re-enter the chat. Okay, go ahead, Bobby.
He looks even the connection looks even worse.
He's muted.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Gerard's like, I can't do this. Bobby, speak to us, dude. Can't hear him.
All right, Bobby's got one more shot at this thing, and then we're going to wrap it. It is sad that we're not going to get everyone in here Bobby's pulling a Tatum
worst,
here.
Yeah, I was going to say, worst finals performance.
Yeah, this Tatum is a bad finals performance here.
I still see him like he's frozen, I think.
All right, we're going to try him again. Is this frozen Bobby or real Bobby?
I think it's frozen Bobby, yeah, clearly.
Yeah, it's frozen Bobby.
It's frozen Bobby. I heard it.
Ice group. Cold.
Okay.
Here's second Bobby. Try it again.
I think I'm good.
There's someone behind you. All right, go ahead.
Let him get his words in before he goes.
Yeah, you're right.
Again.
Yeah, this is disappointing for sure. I mean, it feels like they really lost an opportunity here against a team that definitely started gaining steam as the series went on. I mean, they were a freight train tonight, the way they hit that with that 21-0 run there in the second quarter. Some of Curry's drives were unstoppable. Wiggins, of course, just an indispensable part of what they were doing with the secondary scoring. And then Green was greater and greater as the series went on, particularly defensively. And they cut off the rim. Celtics lost poise. And I thought that was my biggest takeaway from all the presses there, is that Tatum, who was very dejected, down, you know, head in his hands, speaking really softly, said they need to get better with their poise, him in particular. And that's the story of the series. Three straight games, avalanche of turnovers, none of them, again, addressing the ball handling issues that much or what's going to solve them into the future. And I think that more than anything is what concerns you going forward. I don't see a clear path to any of these guys becoming great at ball handling and really grabbing that issue by the rope and reining it in. This whole postseason was marked by it. They had numerous spots where it blew their chances to win series. This team could have potentially lost in round two. They didn't. They overcame it. I thought they got really good at suppressing it. But again, this series, you waste an Al effort tonight. You waste an incredible Robert Williams effort in this series, start to finish. The bench disappeared, which is concerning in its own right. And that's something we'll address tomorrow with those guys. But Tatum, not rising to the moment here, definitely deserves some criticism. Smart, not being able to rein in the ball handling, deserves a lot of criticism. Jaylen, he had his spots, but who set a better tone than him in this series and the spots he got the chance to, particularly tonight where he pushed them back from 22 to within 8. Again, I think you start to wonder what raised his standing on this team and the work he can do to solve a lot of these issues, because he was great this year. I thought Jason, he was fantastic. Trade him.
Yeah.
I don't know how you do it. It's going to be tricky. And again, we're asking a lot.
That's a good one.
The turnaround was great. They were an all-time defense, I thought, when they were healthy and set. Before Rob got hurt there, and it kind of mixed up the lineups and rotations. But the same issues, and John, this was your biggest fear going into the playoffs, is that those issues would creep back up, and they got more and more prevalent as the playoffs went on here, whether it was the ref complaining or any of that stuff.
My thesis statement to begin the entire show, Bobby, was very simple. It wasn't like, oh, kill it, blow it up, an X, Y, and Z, or a rant, anything like that. It's very simple. Whatever questions I had about the makeup of this team and the individuals on it earlier in the year, I have a lot of those same questions still. And that's why I would say, I don't care how it ends, win, lose, or whatever, I'd still have a lot of the same questions. And so I think it's fair to ask them. And I think that's what we're going to be asking this offseason. Again, you know, the finals and this stage and failing on this stage and failing this badly on this stage does magnify this stuff. So you really see it even more clearly. But again, a lot of it is not surprising. Some of the stuff we're wondering about, Marcus Smart is the point guard, you know, Jason Tatum, and whether, you know, and some of the issues that he's had here, can Jaylen Brown be a leader, or is he, you know, Rob Williams' health, X, Y, and Z, you know, the bench depth, future concerns. It's all this, a lot of these questions we had earlier in the year, I think we're going to ask them again, regardless of the run. And that's not to disparage or, you know, kind of dismiss what a tremendous turnaround it was. It was, and it was a success, and it was more than a lot of people expected, but you're still going to ask those questions. So
yeah, because no one saw the series going this way, three straight losses and worse in each one, collapsing in a couple fourth quarters and then melting down in the first half tonight. It felt like, it reminded me a lot of the meltdown late in that fourth quarter against Cleveland in 2018. And you come away from that saying the same thing: we'll be back, we're young, this is the beginning. 2 years later after that, you're questioning this whole thing, and it looked like it was on the verge of collapse at that point. They turned it around over this past year since then, but it went south pretty quickly after that loss in 2018. And you do worry about that. If they're not able to adjust the roster, if Derek White doesn't prove to be a better player than he did since the deadline here, if Smart reverts to kind of some of his worst habits again next season, if Al takes a step back at all. I mean, there are some levers here that could lead you downward in the East, not to mention stuff outside of your control, like other teams getting better. That's going to be something you just watch and learn. But effectively, we're getting all the offseason stuff. But this is your team next year. I don't see significant changes. You're running back these eight.
Unless Brad gets pulled, and we'll see. And it would be interesting, you know, to not blow up, but make, you know, any change to a player you know, to a core player would be a big move, you know, totally. Whether it be shipping out Marcus or packaging Rob and seeing if you can, you know, are you trying to get into the Gobert sweepstakes? You know, like, I have no idea what happens. Mm. There are bold moves.
Expensive, but
that could be talked about. Some of them are expensive, and it's like, well, Wick, hey, you said you'd spend
we
for gotta a contender.
Answer that stupid question again. Yeah,
you said you'd spend for a contender. Well, we did make the finals, and we think we could win the finals if only you dip into your pocket, pay an extra $30 million, which is actually going to be 75 when you pay the tax. Are you down with that? And we'll see what happens. So, I'm not really sure, but again, these are conversations we're going to have at another time. I know Bobby's just getting here, but Sherrod and Jimmy have been going for a while. So we are going to wrap it up here.
I do have one question for Bobby.
Yep.
Is it over?
You bullied me into it earlier. Series. I explained that one.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Warriors legitimately looked overmatched early. I get shocked.
I agree with you, Bobby.
Enough. Me too.
Yeah, I don't think they took it seriously enough early. And they turned up the Jets and Wiggins in particular just dominated Tatum here. And that was pretty amazing. Curry reached a new level, deserving MVP. Green turned around. On top of it. So they were great. I mean, it's amazing. From last place 2 years ago in the whole league to champions again and restarting this run, it looks like. I don't know how good the underbelly of that team is. Extend this, you know, another decade here, whatever you want to do, but should some fire here, especially from Clay, who you got to feel it for coming back from what he did there. He was extra exciting. More than anything else, I thought to this one, for sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
All
right.
We can do that. Imagine if they didn't draft Jameis Wiseman.
Jameis Wiseman.
Special, a new run.
Yeah.
Core they
anyway.
Totes.
Bobby's getting a little glitchy, so we're going to do one more HelloFresh plug here. Go check it out. Farm fresh ingredients delivered to your door. Delicious food, menu items, basically like having a restaurant meal delivered to you. You just have to cook it, but you don't shop. You don't pay an enormous, you know, price going to restaurants these days, jacking up the prices. So HelloFresh.com/playoff16. Use the code playoff16. Up to 16 free meals. We will be back with more, but we are going to say thank you for a season's worth of coverage. I'm going to say, first off, before we let everyone give a little sign off of their own, happy birthday. It's officially at midnight. Happy birthday to Esme Zanis, my daughter, who is 10. Double digits, hitting double digits, the love of my life. 10, daddy's got to get to bed because he's got to make waffles with fresh whipped cream and strawberries in the morning. That's the promised breakfast. So we got to get up and we got to make that. So we're going to wrap up this show. I want to thank everybody sincerely for joining us and hanging out with us the entire season. It really is our pleasure to do this. We have a lot of fun doing it. I hope you had some fun along the way. I hope you got something out of it as well. It doesn't stop just because the season stopped. The off season is going to keep going. We'll be doing stuff at least weekly.
NBA draft Thursday.
Any
6 days.
News? We will do a show for. We will do a show for the draft for sure. But again, thank you guys. None of this is possible without you, many of whom jumped on with us a couple of years ago when you had nothing to do in the middle of a pandemic during the bubble and just kind of rode the wave. And hey, look, NBA Finals a couple of years later, not bad. So that was that's great. So again, thank you, but we'll still be here. We're not going anywhere, guys.
Yeah, some of the love we got in the field was incredible.
And thank you very much, Bobby.
Damn it, Bobby.
I think that was going to be good.
He's still talking, I'm sure.
I feel it. It was great. Thanks, Bobby.
Sherrod, you want to go?
No, you got it, Jimmy. You got it.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm going to echo everything John said, including a happy birthday as well. It's my mom's birthday now since we're past midnight. So happy birthday to my mom.
Oh, yeah?
Yep.
June 17th.
So I know she's
that's amazing.
She's definitely not watching at this point, but happy birthday, mom. And I want to say to everybody watching, This hopefully this looks familiar. I'm sure the Celtics hard hat comes out after every Celtics win for when they go to work. But I gotta say, I gotta put it on for everybody who joins the show and watches us, because you guys came, showed up for a lot of episodes. You know, I recognize a lot of people in the chat, and a lot of people tweet me, and they're it's crazy how much the show has grown, and we truly do appreciate that. It's a lot of fun for us. Some of these games are tough to watch, but you know, it's a little, I don't know if the word's comforting, but there's some word for, you know, coming on after the game and just hashing it out, you know, win or
loss. Catharsis.
Thank you. Exactly. Yeah. So appreciate that. And as far as the Celtics goes, I got to tip my helmet to them for at least making it fun. It was miserable the first couple months, and I was like, we cannot do a full season of this. So shout out to them for getting to where they got. I know they came up short in the end, but they kept it fun for us, and we'll see what happens moving forward.
Yeah, very nice. Yeah,
I won't be nearly as long as Jimmy, because Jimmy clearly was taking Bobby's minutes and his minutes
yeah,
there.
Yeah, I spoke for Bobby too.
Soliloquy, exactly. No, this was great, man. I mean, just looking at just the transformative nature of this season, where they went from looking like a damn lottery team to now freaking game six of the NBA Finals. And you know, it was great having all of you on the ride with us through that, the ups and downs of this team. Looking forward to the offseason, looking forward to next season, looking to see what they're going to do. And rest assured, we're going to have something to say about it. Hopefully they can be phenomenal, as Bobby would put it. But at a minimum, you know, you guys are what keeps us going and keeps us energized, keeps us fired up. And so keep that energy, because we're going to need it.
Keep the energy. Right. The energy. Yeah. We don't want the energy
shifting.
We don't want the energy to shift. Keep the energy coming. We like it. And again, you can always have those conversations with us on Twitter. You know, check out, follow our Twitter handle, CelticsCLNS. Subscribe to our YouTube channels. Follow us at clnsmedia.com. Sherrod Blakely, fullcourtpress.bulletin.com. Help me out. Did I get it right? Yes.
Yes.
All of Sherrod's written work there. Terrific. Obviously, we'll have a lot of stuff in the offseason, postmortems on this current season, and, you know, a lot of questions that are going to be answered actually fairly soon. So stick with us. We'll be back very, very soon. But again, thank you guys. Good season. Happy birthday to Jimmy's mom. Happy birthday to Esme and anybody out there who might be celebrating something that isn't a Celtics loss, which
there's a lot to celebrate out there, guys.
There's still a lot to celebrate. So good.